7 o'clock. Slept almost 3 hours straight. A personal best. The Christmas lights are going quietly apeshit in the sunshine, which is cooking the donuts. Reaching into the terrible bag before I can think about what I'm doing, I tear off a maggot-coated hunk and stuff it into Fist Jesus's bloody maw, whistling in the sun. Should cheer up the next lonely visitor to Napoleon's guest house anyway. I leave, quietly locking the apartment door so as not to wake the thousands of children who live on the first floor, then let my eyes adjust to the dark stairwell, hoping to catch a glimpse of the animal. Nope. Not unless it's hiding behind a pile of old carpet at the bottom of the stairs. Then I lift the mat and place the key under it, silently thanking Napoleon for another night of creepy hospitality. On my way out the door, I peer into the pile of dusty carpet just in case. Taffy? I ask it. Across the street, Taffy's owner is standing on his front lawn in a bathrobe, smoking a cigarette and holding the morning paper. "Morning," he shouts through his cigarette when I step outside. This means good morning in Rhode Island. I smile. He smiles too, takes the cigarette out of his mouth, and spitting on the ground, starts walking toward me. Aw, crap. I can't talk to this guy. I've tried. I can't understand a word he says after morning. And he looks like a yeti, which makes it hard to listen to what he's even trying to say. I always just squint and nod, watching his face move until he stops making noise, then I back away. Quickly, before he can cross the street, I scramble into my car and start the engine. It sputters. I try again. Taffy's dad watches. My dumb car. It doesn't really work, can hardly breathe. The Silver Bullet, she's called, and she is in fact silver, but she's a fat-ass Logie version of a bullet. This morning, she coughs, wheezes, then suddenly heaves to life. Pulling away from Napoleon's neighbor, I wave, and he waves back, looking sad, his newspaper at his side. At the first intersection, the car stalls. I whip my head around to see if he's following me, lumbering along, puffing his cigarette. "Morning, morning!" His bathrobe blowing in the breeze. No wonder Taffy left. But the street behind me is empty, and the bullet's engine kicks in again a second later, humming in her distinctive, full-throated whine. Like most people in Napoleon's gang of losers, I'm 18, the age where no one takes care of you. I'm not homeless per se, I just can't stop for very long. I'm too wired. And I have this idea that you could belong everywhere rather than just one place. So I don't call anything home. Don't know what I'd do there if I did. I'd just get antsy and want to leave again. People who suffer because they have nowhere in particular to go are those who can sit still, who sleep. I stopped doing these things last September when I made a mistake and moved into the wrong place, a bad apartment christened the Doghouse by someone who painted that on the door. The Doghouse was the last place I played music on purpose, of my own volition. I innocently stepped through the door of the Doghouse and put my stuff down because I thought that if I lived alone for a while, music might speak to me, tell me its secrets. Music spoke all right. It yelled. And as it turns out, it has no secrets. If you ask music a question, it answers and then just keeps talking louder and louder, never shuts up. Music yelled so loud and so much in the Doghouse, I can still hear it. I was used to sound tapping me on the shoulder and singing into my ear. I've heard music that no one else hears since I got hit by a car a couple years ago and sustained a double concussion. I didn't know what to make of this at first, but eventually I came to feel lucky, special, as if I tapped into an intelligence. Songs played of their own accord, making themselves up. I listened and copied them down. Last fall, though, the music I heard began to feed off the Doghouse's evil energy. Songs no longer tapped me on the shoulder, they slugged me in the jaw. Instead of singing to me, they screamed, burrowing into my brain as electricity. I got zapped so bad in that apartment, I don't think I'll ever rest again. In the doghouse, sleep stopped coming, days stopped ending. Now sleep doesn't come, and days don't end. Sleeping pills slow my thinking, but they can't shut down my red-hot brain. If I do manage to drop off, wild dreams wake me up. So I'm different now. My thinking is liquid and quick. I can function at all hours. My songs are different too, and when I play them, I become them. Evil. Charged. I'm actually head over heels in love with these evil songs in spite of myself. It's hard not to be. They're arresting. Before I disappeared into the doghouse, the songs I heard were not devils. They were floaty angels. Gentle and meandering. Interesting if you took the time to pay attention, but they wouldn't necessarily stop you in your tracks. Now the songs I bring to my band are essential, bursting, harsh black and white sketches that my bandmates color in with their own personal noise. These songs grab your face and shout at it. Do you want your face grabbed and shouted at? Probably not. At the very least, it's irritating. But now that it's happened to me, I know that music is as close to religion as I'll ever get. It's a spiritually and biologically sound endeavor. It's healthy. Some music is healthy anyway. I know a lot of bands who are candy or beer, fun and bad for you in a way that makes you feel good for a minute. My band is spinach, I guess. We're ragged and bitter, and nobody likes us very much. But I swear to God, we're good for you. One of our housemates holds a brown and white guinea pig in his hands for me to pet. I've never seen one before. Don't be afraid. The guinea pig is the gentlest of all creatures, he says kindly. All he wants is peace. The guinea pig looks at me suspiciously and makes strange underwater sounds. Humans enslave each other and fight wars, he continues, pushing his long brown hair behind his ears. Guinea pigs want nothing to do with governments or violence. There are brothers in peace. Go ahead, you can pet him. I reach out to touch the guinea pig's twitching nose with my finger. It bites me.